Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we interview the second candidate out of seven who are running for an open Spokane City Council seat in the Northeast District. Last time we talked with neighborhood council leader and daycare owner Tim Benn. Today we meet Chris Brown. She works at Anna Ogden Hall. That's the shelter and recovery center for women and children that's operated by the Union Gospel Mission. Soon she'll move to a new position, helping people who have a difficult time getting jobs due to criminal records or addictions or other factors. We asked Chris Brown what she has learned in her work at Ogden Hall.
That people in that situation have really feel like their humanity has been stripped from them. They don't think that they are worthy of getting the kind of care that they're getting. And when they find out that we run purely on donations, they're completely shocked. They're like, why would anyone care about me enough to pay for my housing and my food and for my rehab? And so getting them to understand that they're people, like they're people who have a problem, they are not their problems, has been eye-opening and really has just changed how I view everyone, not just addicts.
So many of these people are part of that homeless population.
Yes.
That are counted every January, and when they're about 1,200 or 1,250 so this year. What have you learned about the homeless from working at Ogden Hall?
The same thing. They really just don't think that they are a person worthy of having a house and a stable job for whatever reason. It's also shown me that homelessness isn't cut and dry. It's so complex, and there's so many factors that go into it, and you have to address those factors, because if you just give them a house, if you just give them a job, if you just give them a stipend, you're not dealing with the core issue.
So how has the city done in terms of dealing with homelessness? So how would you evaluate?
I would give us like a D minus, not quite failing, because at least we're doing something. But we don't have a lot of education out there about what is being done, for starters. Like, I work with the homeless, and I just found out this past month that there's a bunch of different groups in Spokane that are with city members and city council that are working with the homeless. I haven't heard anything about them, and I work in this field. So we need to get the word out that there's people that are actually working towards this. I also think we need to really focus on treating homelessness as people who are homeless. And it seems like it's just wordplay, but it really changes how you view them. If you put their humanity in front of their problem, you're more apt to feel compassion. You're more apt to change just slightly what you're doing to help them just a little.
So as a city council member, how would you advocate for change, or what kinds of changes would you advocate for? Maybe is a better question.
Yeah, well, I think that we definitely need to get a control on the housing situation. 0.5% of vacancy is not okay for anyone. And I'm saying that as a person who has a steady job and a steady income and who had to look for housing. Like, it was difficult for me to find housing. And I am not homeless. So we need to definitely get on top of that. We also need to get education out there for people on what actually does help homelessness and what doesn't help homelessness. Everyone is irritated at the panhandlers, but they're out there because it works, because they know that they can get the money. And it's not a hand. We're not looking for a hand out. We're looking for a hand up. And that's what we need to focus on.
Do you think it's going to take a lot of extra money on the part of the city, or are you looking for more partnerships between city and private?
Both. And it's difficult to say that because everyone doesn't want their tax dollars to go to this, but they want the problem to go away. But they don't want us to actually do anything about the problem. They just want the problem to go away. And it's not just going to go away. We can't just lock them up in jail for being homeless. We can't just shove them out of the city to another city. Like, that's why they're coming here, is because they're getting shoved out of other cities. If we can address the problem and do it with the cooperation of the community and the organizations that are out there already doing it, then we can actually solve the homeless problem.
Do you think other cities are sending homeless people to Spokane?
I do. Just because I've talked to them, I've talked to the homeless because of where I work, and they hear that Spokane has better facilities for homelessness, that there's better shelters up here, that we have better mental health facilities, which are all true, but they are coming from other cities to be in Spokane and be homeless in Spokane. So obviously we're doing something to cover up the problem, to make a temporary fix. It's like a Band-Aid when you can see the bone and you really need stitches.
Is homelessness a solvable problem, do you think?
I think it's not 100% solvable. There's always going to be those people who don't want help, and that's just how they are. But I think that we can make a serious effort to not only restore humanity to these people, but lessen the numbers that we see.
So what about those people, as you just referred to, who don't want to, who want to live out on the street? How do we handle them?
So you can, I mean, it's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So you can try and you can try and you can try, and they just don't want it. And I think not giving them, I don't think a tent city will work. I like tiny houses in general. I don't think that we need a community of tiny houses for our homeless. If they're not willing to go for the resources, that's completely on them. We can only go so far as a city, as a community, as a person. We can't force anyone to want to change.
Should they be behind bars?
I don't believe so. Not just for being homeless. If they commit a different crime, yes, 100%, you commit a crime, you belong to the legal system. But if they're just being homeless, no.
Should we put them someplace where we can't see them?
No, I don't think so. You may not like the look of it. You may not like how it makes our city feel, but it's a reality. So if you're slightly uncomfortable driving down the road because you're going under the Division Bridge and you see all the homeless camped there, maybe you should examine why you're uncomfortable. Examine your own motives and be questioning yourself on why that makes you angry, why that makes you uncomfortable. What is the core issue in your heart going on there?
I'm curious, you talked about panhandlers and
yes,
the fact that it works. When you drive past a panhandler, do you stop and give panhandlers money?
No. No, if you've read anything or talked to Phil Altmaier for more than 5 minutes, you will hear what panhandling actually does to the homeless population. And so I will, if I'm walking, I will encourage them to go to the shelters. They don't have to go to UGM. There's so many other shelters, too, that offer this similar services. But I don't ever give them money. I don't give them the bags with the stuff in it. I give them water a lot of times. I've given out my gloves when someone's holding a sign and it's like raining or snowing. I can buy another pair of gloves. They're standing out there with their fingers freezing, but I don't ever give them money.
We're talking with Spokane City Council candidate Chris Brown. So we've been talking about the low vacancy rate. What's the role of the city in creating more low-income housing, do you believe?
I think for one, we definitely need to get on rent control. 100% onto rent control. It is absolutely ridiculous that in this city, I should be paying over $1,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. I don't pay $1,000 because I think it's ridiculous, but that's about the range that I was looking at when I was looking for housing. People can't afford that when they're working a minimum wage job, even with the minimum wage increase. They can't afford $1,000 in rent. And what if they have kids? Then that money needs to be going to their children. So I think we need to get on top of rent control. We also need to make it easier and give more access to development and put in conditions. If you want to put up these high price condominiums, then you either need to contribute greatly to providing low income housing, or you need to also build a low income housing structure. We need to put those structures in place because we have the housing shortage.
Do you believe rent control, going back to that,
yeah,
does it take away the incentive of a landlord, one, to keep a house or an apartment up to snuff to livable standards? And two, does it, because they don't figure they can make enough money at that lower rent, they'll take their properties off the market. Do you think that will change or lower that availability?
We might see it slightly dip down just because people don't like change and they're fearful because they're not willing to stick it out. And so we might see a little dip down in that. But honestly, like, if you're charging $1,500 and you don't even have a mortgage on that, there's no reason. That's not even half of your property tax. So for 1 month's rent, you want basically your property tax being paid. That doesn't make any sense. And yeah, you can make money and still have affordable rent. So I was a tax preparer for 8 years, and I did rental income taxes, and I have seen both sides. And you can still make money and not charge as much as you're charging.
Do you think there's the political will, though, for rent control in Spokane?
Probably not right now, but I'm a very stubborn and loud person, so I will make myself be heard.
So what about as you look ahead at the straightforward, you see the Spokane County Jail in front of you, and there's a I think going to be a pretty robust debate about what to do with that facility, renovate it, rebuild it, knock it down. What are your thoughts about the jail, about ways to rehabilitate the inmates that are there? What are your thoughts about this whole thing?
So I think in order to reduce recidivism, we need to be focusing on the why factor. And we don't really do that. Why are they in jail? Why is this their third offense? Why is this their 10th offense? But we're not three strikes. So why are they still coming back? Focusing on that, is it a lack of job skills? Is it a lack of dealing with past trauma? What do they need? I also think that before we just tear it down and rebuild a new one, we should really look at cost efficiency. What is going to be more efficient? Are we going to have to house them somewhere else? How long will that be? What will that all look like? Because that all goes into a factor. And if it's city money, then it's definitely something that we need to examine.
We read today in the newspaper that the city of Spokane is considering creating its own jail and criminal justice facility rather than continuing to work with the county. What do you think about that?
I don't know that we're big enough to need our own yet. I don't think that it would be financially prudent to have two separate facilities when we could easily renovate one or get find another location and build a slightly bigger one, because what's going into it is not just the cost of the building, it's the cost of the staff and the cost of the security and the cost of feeding them and the cost of their medical and all of that. And if we're sharing that burden with the county, that is putting less strain on the taxpayers.
Okay. Are there other issues that I haven't asked you about? Because I've given you the same boilerplate three or four issues that I'm asking everybody about. But what are the issues that you're talking about as you go knock on doors?
Yeah. So one of the things that people have been asking me about is government transparency. And I didn't really think about that going into this. But I believe personally in transparency. My full name actually means transparent glass. So it's a huge deal to me. And going forward, I believe that we need to increase our government transparency, especially at the city level.
Is there a particular issue, there a particular example that you're referring to in here?
No. No one's given me just one example. They just feel like they don't really know what the city council is doing. Even though they can go on and look, they can go to a meeting, they're just not sure, and they're tired of finding out information after the fact, after it's been announced, after it's been approved by city council. They just want to know how their tax dollars are being used, and that totally makes sense. If your salary is being paid by me, I would like to know what you're doing with it.
Well, I mean, couldn't you argue that they just need to work a little bit harder, that the information is out there if they go look for it?
I would say no, because I've been on the city website, and I did my internship at a marketing firm, and from a marketing standpoint, I do not like our website. But also just it's difficult for me, someone who's used to doing research and used to looking at computers, to find the information. And I think we are underutilizing our social media. Like, I follow all the city of Spokane stuff, obviously. And I just don't really, there's a lack of understanding of how social media algorithms work, because I don't see city of Spokane popping up on my timelines or on my streams or anything like that, because they're not engaging the way that they need to with the city.
So those are issues that you're hearing when you knock on doors. Are there other issues that intrinsically for you that are more important?
My big one is the homeless situation. That's That's my big one. I've also realized that's a big one for the whole city. It's the number one thing people bring up. If you go on my website, I have a form that you can fill out, and I have you rate the city and tell me why you gave that rating. And the number one thing that I get back is homelessness.
Is that because you think it's just more visible over the last year or so?
I think it's visible, and the lack of action or the lack of knowledge about any action being taken is really starting to wear on people.
Mm. So make the case in our last question here, make the case for why you are the best of those seven candidates that you're a part of in the Northeast District.
Yeah, so I haven't met any of the candidates yet. A few of them and I are going to be going out for coffee here soon, and I'm actually excited about that. But I really believe in caring about people. And I've said this plenty of times on my website, on my Facebook, face-to-face to people. We are a city that's made up of people, and we seem to be viewing the city as made up of problems. And we need to realize that at the core of every single problem, there are people being affected. Like, you are upset because you, the person, are being affected by this. But you don't realize that on the other side, there's another person. And that's why my tag is people, not problems, is because that's what we have. We have a group of people.
So what have you learned in this, your first time candidate, and you're a few months into it, a couple of months into it? What have you learned through running for the first time?
So first is, people don't hate you. They hate what you represent. And that was a fun lesson to learn, because I was like, how can you have that opinion of me? You literally have never heard my name until this moment. It's because they're not mad at me. They're mad at what I represent.
And in this case, that is what?
The government, the city government.
You're running for office.
Yeah.
And they hate the people.
And it's a public platform that they can put their comments out on. Yeah. And I read all of the comments, but I stopped taking it so personally because I realized that they just want to have someone hear them and understand them. And I do, even if it's against me. Like, I can see past the anger to the core of the hurt. They feel like their government's ineffective and they want something to be done. And they're afraid that I'm just going to perpetuate the norm. And I'm not. I've actually had people tell me that I'm too conservative, and then people tell me that I'm too liberal, and I just look at them and I'm like, you know, city council's nonpartisan, right?
Yeah, but still the people do have conservative and liberal viewpoints, even if they don't declare a party.
Yeah, and I like running for nonpartisan office, one, because I don't have to declare, because I am a strict centrist, and every person I've talked to hates that, but I don't really agree with either side on 100% of the things. And it really just depends on what the party is doing, which way I sway. And so I'm not comfortable declaring a party. And so when I was looking at going into city government to use my experience with homelessness to help the city, I really got excited that it was nonpartisan. I was like, I don't have to declare. Even though everyone wants me to. I'm like, no, if you want me to declare, I'll tell you. At the most I will tell you is I'm a moderate. That's it.
Chris Brown is one of seven candidates for Spokane City Council in the Northeast District. On August 6th, the voters in that district will choose two to go on to the November general election. Next time on the podcast, we'll talk with candidate Doug Salter. We're posting our entire interviews with the candidates for Spokane City Office on the Spokane Public Radio website. We'll continue adding a new candidate a day until we've featured all who accepted our invitation to talk. Click on the Regional News tab and then Election 2019. You can find Inland Journal in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play, or on the Inland Journal page of the Spokane Public Radio website. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Glad you joined us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.